This is Don Rumsfeld, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Snyder Show. I am the aforementioned Gary Snyder. We're here on Indiana Talks. Great lineup for you tonight. And if you don't know, we're back. Yes, we are back after, I don't know, maybe a little, we'll just call it a small summer vacation. I know summer vacation's not over for all of you, but hey, it is for me because A, I'm a radio talk show host and you guys want to hear from me. And B, I'm a state Senate candidate. Can I say that on the air? I guess we'll find out. But here's my lineup for tonight. I only have one person. His name is Michael Leppert. And we're going to be talking not only, a little politics, but he has a new venture he started that I'm actually, glad to be a part of. So we'll discuss that with him for the whole hour. And if you don't like it, then tune in next week. We'll have someone different. All right, but joining me now, we'll call him a Renaissance man, if you will. He's an author. He is a he's a digital magazine entrepreneur. Michael Leppert, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gary. This is great. People saying good things about me right out of the gate. That's not normal. Business as usual for me, so thanks for having me.
Does Renaissance Man cover it?
I'm going to tell all my friends for the next 3 to 5 days or 3 to 5 weeks that I've been called that. So yeah, my millennial sons will enjoy hearing that word. So yeah, thanks for coining the phrase on me, that's for sure.
Well, the only reason I say that, because I am a big social media person. That's how I have grown my radio station, Indiana Talks. That's how I've grown my Senate candidacy. Can I say that on the radio? I don't know. But anyway.
It's your show. I think so.
And that's how I have grown the legend that is Gary Snyder. But, you know, every time that I – there's certain people that I see on Facebook a lot, and one of them is you. And about every time that I see a post from you, you're not in Indiana. You're in San Francisco, or you're here, or you're there. And I'm like, man, he is just a world traveler.
Yes, we. My wife and I do get around a little bit. We are venturing out. We're very good about getting around in the continental U.S. We have not ventured out to Alaska yet. We have been to Hawaii, and we are going to Europe on our first trip next spring. But that's largely because my younger son, is going to be studying abroad, and that served as the excuse to cross the pond to the east for the first time. So yeah, it's getting around is one of our hobbies. That's for sure. We like seeing new places and meeting new people. And some of that has to do with, has led to the venture that I'm in right now. That's for sure.
Well, where is your son going to be studying abroad next year?
He's going to be spending the spring semester in Spain.
Wow.
He doesn't have the exact location. It's likely going to be in a town just outside of Madrid, but we don't have that locked down yet. But they have a couple of he will be a junior, a rising junior. That's a new term for me, but that's what they call it now, a rising junior at Wabash College. And so The spring semester, he's going to be over there at a couple places that they do abroad programs for the college. And he's minoring in Spanish. He's a financial economics major, but he has a minor in Spanish. And so he's going to spend three or four months, probably 3.5 months, I think, exactly over there. And while he's over there, we're going to check in on him, make sure everything's okay, and then we're going to go do a tourist thing, I'm sure. So maybe he'll come with us to Barcelona, maybe not, but we'll see.
Well, it's funny because my daughter is, what's it called, a rising junior?
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure what the term is, but my daughter will also be a junior in college this year. She is a junior, rising junior, up at St. Mary's College at Notre Dame.
Okay,
so,
yes.
She will be studying abroad, too, in the spring semester. And she has decided to study abroad in Washington, D.C., since she is a political science major and wants to go to law school. She has chosen, out of all the places that St. Mary's students can go, she has chosen to go to Washington, D.C.
I will tell you that I am very proud of that choice. I love Washington, D.C., and my wife, when she was in – we're both SPIA grads, School of Public and Environmental Affairs people from IU. She did a semester in D.C. I wish I had done that because I love D.C. I got to spend some time there last week. I'm excited for her. And that is very much a study abroad program because it is another – not only another country, it's like another planet in Washington, D.C. So I wish her well on that. I hope she enjoys it as much as I think I would.
Well, and here's the thing. I consider myself, I'm a veteran. I've been in the Army. So, you know, I'm not necessarily a homebody here to Indiana. But I've been to several places, different locations in my life. Washington, D.C. is one that I have never been to. And this is someone who talks politics for a living.
Right, right. I surprise people with that all the time. They think I'm out there all the time, and I'm just not. I did some visiting on the Hill last week, and I was taking some people who had never been there before, and I made mention. I said, you know, I haven't been in the Longworth office building in 15 years, and they were like, what? We thought you were here every day. And I was like, oh no, that's the State House and the U.S. Capitol are two different places, that's for sure. So it's amazing how many people don't go very often.
You mentioned you were in D.C. last week. Did you? Were you the one that had the conversation with John McCain?
No. No, he was not taking my appointments. That would have been a good conversation. I've followed his career very closely here the last 20 years or so. But yes, there was probably a line outside of his door.
Well, if you're just joining me here on the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talks, I'm speaking with Renaissance Man Michael Leppert. See, it's stuck already.
Yes.
He's joining me for the hour today. We're going to be discussing, amongst other things, apparently our children, but also politics. But first, before we get into the issues of the day, if you will, both national and state, we need to talk a little bit about who you are and what you do and your new venture. So let's start with you're an author. So talk a little bit about your book. Here's a chance to sell a few books.
Yeah, the book was an interesting project. And basically, the book grew out of a blog that had turned into a column that I was writing, largely to promote my consulting business, which is I'm a contract lobbyist, government affairs, political consultant in Indianapolis, and my marketing company who had put together my website and marketing materials said, you know, you really need to write a blog. And I didn't want to do it, but they talked me into doing it. And I went home and talked it over with my wife and started writing the blog, which immediately was like a minor league version of a David Brooks column, which, of course, is not what they had in mind. They were hoping that I would write something that would just basically communicate the facts and let people know that I know what's happening in the State House. And so that version of a professional type blog took on an editorial type flavor right out of the gate. And the Statehouse file and some local newspapers started carrying it about a year later, and one thing led to another, and I had a bit of a following. And so the book actually became a chronicle of the first 3 years of the – or 2 years, excuse me, 2 years of the column, and organized in a way that covers subject matter. For example, I have a chapter on the whole RFRA episode. I have a chapter in there that deals with the Syrian refugee crisis that we had here in state government in Indiana, those kinds of things. And a lot of them obviously are hot button issues with regard to the Pence administration. So, but the book and my column, I tend to take time every, you know, three or four columns to write personal pieces or cultural pieces. Just so people who read me know that I'm a human being too. I'm not just some guy that's glued to the CNN broadcast every day. And so that's where the writing comes from, the background on that. But the book, very excited about the book. It's been out for a year. It's amazing how writing a book and publishing a book makes people think of you differently. That's for sure. Because I have lots of people say, "Oh, you must know what's going on. You wrote a whole book." It's like, yeah, I've. Think about it. If you memorialized all the things you knew into a book, a lot of people could write books. I was just one of the rare guys who took the trouble to do it. So it's been a fun experience.
Well, I'll say this, and not to put any pressure on you, okay? But okay. I think our mutual friend Kip too. So we'll give Kip a shout out on this. He sent me a signed copy of his book. Just saying.
Oh, yes. Hey, yours is sitting right. It's right here on my desk. I just need to get it in the mail.
You know, that's what I was thinking.
It's on the way. Now the problem is when I send books off to my friends or put them in their hands. Better yet, I tell them, well, no, I'm gonna talk to you about the contents of that book at some point. So I don't want it. If I know you're not going to read it, I'll give you a hardback. If I think you should read it, and in your case, I think you should read it, I'm going to give you a paperback. Maybe I'll give you both, but we'll talk about the contents later. That's for sure.
Well, I'll lay off the hook because Kip gave me a paperback copy of his.
Yeah, I've got mine right here on the shelf too. Journey to Blue. It's an Indiana classic. That's for sure.
Well,
yeah, my book was contrary to popular belief, and it's the reason for the title is that there are a lot of people that are political consultants that believe that they can't have opinions that might rub against the grain of the people in power, and what I've found, the experience that's most unique about the experience is that I've found that policymakers have a better response to me, and my relationship with the power structure in Indiana has improved. Because I think that even the people that I disagree with see that I am putting a lot of thought, research, and consideration into all the policy positions that I take, and so that's the reason. I think a lot of people that saw my writing originally thought, "Boy, you can't write that. You're going to make somebody mad," and I do make people mad pretty regularly. But they're not, you know, I'm not just spouting off from the hip without any backdrop or stacking of information. So that's the reason for the title, and the experience has been surprisingly good. I thought it would be more combative, but it's actually been eye-opening, I think, for a lot of people.
Have you made a lot of enemies with the book or with your articles? Because someone who has written a lot also, blogs, been on the radio. Now, granted, I've read some of your stuff. You tend to be a little less smart-assery than me. I've made enemies. Have you made enemies with your writings?
Not that I know of, not with people who I know. I haven't lost any friends over it. There are people that I irritate, for sure, especially in Indiana. If you're going to write things that are provocative and progressive in any way, you're going to get a lot of pushback from people who don't read that sort of thing. There's a large amount of people who consume all of their media from Fox News, and
Breitbart. Don't forget Breitbart.
Breitbart, yes, absolutely. And just like there are a lot of people who only read Slate. And so, you know, I had a debate just an hour ago with someone who is progressive, who is Democrat, who appreciates my harsh treatment of President Trump and my historic harsh treatment of Vice President Pence, but wanted to mix it up with me on, you know, predictions and historical facts and historical data from other administrations. And so there are just a lot of people out there that like debating, like arguing. And so you have those conversations and they're fun. But no, I haven't lost any friends. There are a lot of people who don't read me as regularly as they used to because they've seen my patterns and they know me well enough to know where I'm going to come down on things. But no, it's largely been good. There are people who think that I'm partisan, and those people aren't reading me enough, because I think if you read me regularly, you'll see that there are times when I do agree with people who aren't, you know, aren't liberal or left wing. You know, there are ideas that come from the Republican side that are worth listening to, and so that's important, and I think that's been important for my relationship building over time.
All right, if you're just joining me on the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talk, we're speaking with Renaissance man Michael Leppert. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more Michael Leppert here on the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talks.
Make it special. Make it Patora Fine Jewelers this holiday season. Come see why Patora's is consistently rated one of the best jewelry stores in Indianapolis. Patora's is located at 6010 West 86th Street, Suite 114 in Indianapolis, or visit them online at PatoraJewelers.com. And don't forget to like Patora's on Facebook to keep up to date with all their holiday specials. This holiday season, make it special, make it Patora Fine Jewelers.
I'm Joe Shoemaker with Encore Sotheby's International Realty in Indianapolis, Indiana. My top priority is helping you achieve maximum results from the purchase or sale of your home. With nearly 30 years as a sales professional and my deep understanding of online networking and social media, I'll provide you with a strategy that delivers the results you expect. Real estate is my passion, and it would be my pleasure to help you with the sale or purchase of your next home. Call me anytime, 317-413-8501. We'll talk to you soon.
Neat, neat, neat records and music. Fort Wayne's premier stop for all things vinyl. We have the best inventory in the area across all genres. With thousands of LPs and CDs in stock, we have everything from budget selections to high-end rare and collectible LPs. Need playback equipment? We carry hardware from Wharfdale, Ortofon, Project, Yamo, Denon, Onkyo, and more. Let us put together the perfect system for you without breaking the bank. Plus, we pay top dollar for collections of LPs, 45s, and CDs, as well as audio equipment. Neat, neat, neat records. Located at 1836 South Calhoun Street in Fort Wayne. Neat, neat, neat. It's a destination.
It will be cold out soon, and that means one thing. Well, it means several things. But for me, it's fireplace season. That's why when I needed my chimney repaired, the first place I called was Stars Chimney Service. Stars Chimney Service is a local, family-owned chimney service company with over 35 years of experience. So if you need your fireplace service cleaned or completely rebuilt, give Stars Chimney Service a ring today at 260-625-5110 or visit them online at starschimney.com.
Doug Martin's Hoosier School Heist exposes the wealthy people, theocrats, hedge fund managers, and corporations who are stealing our Indiana schools. Learn about felons, plagiarists, banksters, dictators, child abusers, and even two prostitutes. From Muncie to Munster, professors, firefighters, and mayors are calling this book a must-read. One reviewer even said, "This is one of the scariest books I've ever read." Go to HoosierSchoolHeist.com and buy Doug Martin's Hoosier School Heist now.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I've been looking at the stars tonight, and I think, oh, how I miss that bright sun. I'll be a dreamer till the day I die, but they say, oh, have it good.
Yeah. Short and sweet
that's
to the point.
That's my trademark. Hi there.
You know, everyone needs a trademark, and if that's yours, more power to you.
Yeah, well, I've learned to cut out the vulgarities and profanity, you know, whenever I'm being recorded. That's you know, in any live appearances, that's a real struggle for me because I've been known to let those fly. So hi there keeps me out of trouble.
You know, and I have people that come on this show. I've had famous people. I've had not so famous people. And it seems to a T that when they hear that we're internet radio, that they can just start cussing like a sailor. and which is fine. You can if you really want to. If you want to drop the F and the bomb, you can. But, you know, do it in a way that makes sense in a conversation instead of just dropping it for the hell of it.
Absolutely. I just like the father on Christmas Story, you know, when they talk about, you know, him being a Rembrandt of vulgarity. That was my dad, and he raised me in his mold. I work real hard to keep that under wraps. I've had a state senator tell me that people only cuss when they've run out of things to say. So I take that and try to live it as much as I can. But I've also accepted the fact that I'm just I have a vulgar mind. I think in terms of cuss words. So I know that that's just who I am.
Well, and then, you know, take me for an example. I made up a cuss word. I mean, is assery even a word?
No, but it's well, I don't think so. But it might be. And if it's not, it could be soon. So we can talk about dictionary.com here in a minute because I've learned a lot on dictionary.com here in the last few days.
All right. Before we get back with Michael Leppert, this portion of the Gary Snyder Show is sponsored, maybe not for much longer, but it is right now, by Hilti Roofing. We had some hail damage. We had some wind damage back in April. And Larry had built a deck for me, did a great job. I called him, called a couple of other contractors. Larry came out, gave me his quote. Was it the lowest quote? Absolutely not. Was it the highest? By all means, no. But I knew Larry. I trusted his work. And I'm telling you what, if you need roofing, if you need siding, if you need any work done around your home, Larry Hilti and Hilti Roofing are the ones to call. He has over 10 years experience, and he can be reached at 260-701-3490. Again, 260-701-3490. That's Larry Hilti and Hilti Roofing. And I can speak as a reference for him. He did a great job on my home with the new roof, the siding, the gutters, made my old house, which was actually a new house, look new. Again, Hilti Roofing, Larry Hilti, 260-701-3490. Bet you didn't know you were going to be like in the middle of a commercial, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. And it's got me thinking about my roof down here in Indianapolis because my roof is on its last leg. I might have to call it myself.
You know, and most people are going, how the hell do you get someone to sponsor this crap?
Congratulations on that. That is a name, the name of the game.
That
here
is an accomplishment.
Yes,
I have
it is.
Sponsors for people to boycott.
Right, right. That's when you know you've made it, Gary.
Well, again, if you're just joining us here on the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talk, I'm speaking with Renaissance Man Michael Leppert. He is the we'll let you explain Heartland now, because I don't think that I can really do it justice, because if I was explaining Indiana, if you were trying to explain Indiana Talks, could not do it as well as I could, although many people probably think they could, but not the way I really want it done. So
right.
Go ahead, tell me about heartlandnow.com.
Well, heartlandnow.com is a Cultural e-magazine that I started at the end of May, beginning of June. It's right after race weekend, Memorial weekend is when we started. And it is basically a response to and was created as a response to the sort of eroding engagement with local news, local media, local opinion, and local cultural items here in the Midwest. And so when I published my book last year, Sheila Cease Kennedy wrote the foreword to the book, and she sort of clung to a passage in the book where I talked about how our access to information today gives us the ability to choose what it is we're consuming so much easier, that what's happened is people have been drawn to the most dramatic thing that's on the market. You know, right now in politics, obviously it's the White House and the president and all the drama out there. And it's been that way for a long time. And so what has happened is more people know the finer details of that, but nothing about what's going on in their own neighborhood, nothing that's going on in their city council or their county commissions or in their mayor's offices. And it's because people are being attracted away from that local news element. So the quip that I made in the book was the more information we have, the less smart we're becoming. And she said, you know, you ought to do something about that. And Sheila is one of the people that I look up to in a number of ways. And I got to thinking after she said that, what could I do about it? And so Heartland Now is the result of that conversation. What Heartland Now is designed to do is I've gone out and recruited about 30 contributors right now to provide mostly writing, but I also have some art being provided as well, and a couple of podcasts. And that's probably going to grow to 3 or 4 podcasts here in the next week or two, to talk about things that matter to people in Indiana. And some of that is just the same sort of information you might get from a Washington Post or a New York Times or even a National Review or even a Breitbart or a Fox News. But it's going to be told, the stories that are going to be told by somebody who is connected to our neighborhood, our town here. And so I'm not one of those guys who thinks that what's being reported in Washington and New York and Los Angeles is fake or inaccurate, but it is being told by someone who's not one of us. And so it's not told through our eyes or through our voice. And so Heartland Now attempts to address that by addressing the issues, writing stories, telling stories about the issues that matter today, but through a Midwestern cultural voice. And so that's what it's all about. So everything that's on the website are going to be stories that are told that matter. We just did two pieces this week that you'll appreciate that are reviewing several restaurants in the Fort Wayne area. So we have a food writer. We have a guy, a young guy who's doing a lot of writing and reviewing about modern music. But we have a couple of sports writers, obviously a handful of political writers that will cover state, national, and even some local issues. And that's what it's there for, to get people to start reading and engaging on issues that matter here at home or matter abroad, but are being told through a Midwestern perspective. So that's what that's about, and it's been super popular. It's thousands of people. I'm really surprised at how quickly it's taken off, and today is a big day. A lot of people are reading and talking about a story that I wrote, and the Fort Wayne food establishments was a really popular couple of stories this week, so we're pretty excited about where it's going.
Where is it when you look at what you want Heartland Now.com to be, because you mentioned Breitbart. I've had an opportunity to interview Michael Breitbart before he died, and when you talk to Michael Breitbart about Breitbart, and a lot of people don't know, he helped Arianna Huffington start the Huffington Post. Sure. When you look at what Breitbart is now versus what he had envisioned it to be, it's two completely different things. Now, granted, he's dead and doesn't have any control over it. But his vision of what it was going to be and what it is now are two completely different things. So when I ask you, what is Heartland Now now and where do you want it to be, you say what?
Well, I say, well, where it is now is not where I want it to be. I want to have a very balanced, reflective editorial and storytelling voice of the region, and I don't, not to be confused with Northwest Indiana, the region, the small letters, the region, is what I'm talking about. The Indiana, surrounding states, Midwestern area. And if you're going to write accurately and reflective of that community, you need to have people who also are Republicans or more conservative. And so obviously I tend, especially in Indiana's political climate, people think that I'm very liberal. But quite, you know, honestly, when I take national quizzes and rating systems, I'm very moderate. I'm right in the middle of the spectrum. And so it's very important for me to have a very balanced political approach and a balanced cultural one. So I want to have people telling stories that live in the rural counties that are very traditional Christian, Republican. Tell me your story. And at the same time, I want to have people from my neighborhood in Indianapolis, which has a lot of members of the LGBT community, very diverse religious community. And that's where I spend my time. So I think that, you know, we have some, I have a writer who works at the Muslim Alliance. I have someone who works for the Jewish Community Center who are contributing columns. And so I want people, what I want is that if somebody from New York or Los Angeles would read Heartland Now every day for a month, they could walk away and say, oh, I get what's going on in Indianapolis. That's what I want. And if we're successful at being inclusive with our contributors, that's what people will walk away with, a clear vision of what the cultural temperature is here in Indianapolis and the surrounding area. And so we've got a lot of the state, really, as a whole. We've got a lot of stories from all over the state right now. But the boundaries aren't as tight as they need to be. I've got a young man who's in Chicago right now writing about what it's like to leave from a rural Indiana area and go live in the big city. And so that's the kind of thing, that's what I want people to get from Heartland Now over time. And so I have a few holes I need to fill. And that's we're only 2 months old, but I imagine that by the end of my first 6 months, we're going to have a pretty balanced approach.
Now, as you know, I am a state Senate candidate in District 17. Mm-hmm. So I have also taken some of these online quizzes of where you stand politically. And
right.
I'm from Huntington, Indiana. So we'll just say we'll leave my results left to the imagination. My wife and my children know. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
When you take a look at Heartland Now, because I started Indiana Talks, oh, I guess we're coming up on 5 years ago. And my vision of Indiana Talks when I first started it was to have an online radio station for Hoosier radio personalities, podcasts that maybe don't conform to you know what you hear on talk radio in Indiana, because until Indiana
right.
Talks came along, you heard a monotone of just a monotone of talk radio coming over the airwaves. It was the same thing
right.
at 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. and it was the same thing, just by a different
sure.
voice. And one thing that I have found when you do try to give other voices an opportunity to get their wares out there, that when you don't pay them, you have difficulty keeping an interest in these people, that they find out that having a podcast or a radio show is a very expensive and time-consuming habit if you're not getting paid.
Right.
And I would assume that at some point you'll experience this if you haven't already. So how do you
sure.
combat that? Because my Indiana Talks we evolved to where we are today. We finally realized when syndicators started coming to us asking us to carry shows like Stephanie Miller or Democracy Now, that there was a void in Indiana of a more left-leaning talk radio station, and we have filled that void. Even though it wasn't where I had envisioned Indiana Talks to be, we're here, we have an audience, and we're kicking ass doing it. How do you combat that, or do you just go with the flow, kind of like we did here at Indiana Talks?
Well, there's a little bit of going with the flow, and there's also a little bit of the recruiting is important in that regard. The Heartland Now model right now is that we're in that process of building a following and in the process building value. And so I know that long term this is not going to be, and when I say long term, by the time I get done with 6 months, I've committed to my contributors, by the end of the year, that there will be a plan for how we're going to monetize this thing and compensate people to keep them motivated to do what's truly work. I mean, it's a craft. It takes some skill. It takes some commitment and motivation to do what I do every week, and I do it because I love it. That you're not going to find people who will do it for a long period of time just because they love it, because not a lot of people want to sit around and write a 800-word essay every week for free. And so I agree with you on that. But what I've found in recruiting the people that we have right now is that I've created a platform that makes all of the hard stuff, takes all that out of the way for them, for the contributing writers and contributing podcasters, that the platform and the website and the Facebook pages and Twitter feeds and all that sort of stuff, I'm doing all that for them. And so all they have to do is do the writing, and I'll do the editing, and I'll make it pretty, and I'll distribute it on the network and those sorts of things. And they can see whether or not people respond to their work. The people who are doing this for the, maybe not the first time, but didn't really have an outlet, are the ones who are very excited early on. But I agree with you. There's no staying power with a project like this unless we can monetize it and make an economic venture of it. And there's, I've got a business plan in mind, and we're gonna have a unique niche in the space down here for sure. But I think statewide it'll be a unique niche. And so by the end of the year, we expect to have some monetization. I mean, you can do a little bit with Google Ads and those sorts of things, but the business plan for the website is not just to be a product with content that's reflective of our culture, but it's also going to prioritize commerce in our culture as well. And so you can put those two together and see that what I'm thinking is that we want to promote Indiana businesses. We want to provide an advertising opportunity for them. And again, we want people to come to Heartland Now and read what thinkers are thinking here and see what people are buying here, see where people are eating, see where people are going to school, all those sorts of things. And if you roll that all into a cultural piece, there will be some value attached to it.
All right. If you're just joining us on the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talks, we're speaking with Michael Leppert. He is the proprietor of HeartlandNow.com. When we come back, we're going to talk to Michael about his article Sunday on his website. We'll just put it this way. He sees a President Pence. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talks.
Whether you are buying your dream home or selling your current home, Julie Jennings and Jennings Real Estate is there to guide you every step of the way. Julie is a retired teacher and has over 17 years of real estate experience. Julie brings honesty, integrity, and personal service to the table to help maximize your real estate experience. Call Julie Jennings today at 317-691-2900 or visit her at justjulieshomes.com. Julie Jennings and Jennings Real Estate, your move, Julie's mission.
The Badass Teachers Association gives voice to every teacher who refuses to be blamed for the failure of our society to address poverty and inequality. We are an education activist group of over 53,000 nationwide who are fighting against the destruction of public education. We are calling for an end to school closings, high-stakes testing, Common Core, lack of funding, and lack of resources for our children. Please join us in our fight on the web, Facebook, and Twitter. We're the BATS, the Badass Teachers Association.
Neat, neat, neat records and music. Fort Wayne's premier stop for all things vinyl. We have the best inventory in the area across all genres. With thousands of LPs and CDs in stock, we have everything from budget selections to high-end rare and collectible LPs. Need playback equipment? We carry hardware from Wharfdale, Ortofon, Project, Yamo, Denon, Onkyo, and more. Let us put together the perfect system for you without breaking the bank. Plus, we pay top dollar for collections of LPs, 45s, and CDs, as well as audio equipment. Neat, neat, neat records. Located at 1836 South Calhoun Street in Fort Wayne. Neat, neat, neat. It's a destination.
I'm Joe Shoemaker with Encore Sotheby's International Realty in Indianapolis, Indiana. My top priority is helping you achieve maximum results from the purchase or sale of your home. With nearly 30 years as a sales professional and my deep understanding of online networking and social media, I'll provide you with a strategy that delivers the results you expect. Real estate is my passion, and it would be my pleasure to help you with the sale or purchase of your next home. Call me anytime, 317-413-8501. We'll talk to you soon.
Make it special. Make it Petora Fine Jewelers this holiday season. Come see why Petora's is consistently rated one of the best jewelry stores in Indianapolis. Petora's is located at 6010 West 86th Street, Suite 114, in Indianapolis, or visit them online at PetoraJewelers.com. And don't forget to like Petoras on Facebook to keep up to date with all their holiday specials. This holiday season, make it special, make it Petora Fine Jewelers.
Now you can listen to Indiana Talks on your smartphone. Download the TuneIn Radio app on your iPhone or Android and add Indiana Talks to your list of favorites.
This is Lou Holtz, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show, and I have no reason why.
Escalator from the top floor. Don't look at my wife's vacant eyes. Immigrants, I said they're bringing in rapists. Drugs, crime, and like three decent guys. They're mostly bad hombres. I'm racist like my father, Sieg Heil Papa. We'll build a beautiful wall. It'll be wonderful and huge. Mock the reporter who's special. You gotta see this guy. He's so fucking special. I will tweet. I'll distract you. Rosie O'Donnell has AIDS. Don't you see what I'm doing here? It's the art of the deal. Obama's not born here. He's from Kenya. Look it up. We don't care who we hurt. Isn't that right, Stevie? White men are in control.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. A final segment on this Monday evening. We're speaking with Michael Leppert. He is the proprietor, publisher, editor. I don't know, what do you call yourself?
Wow. I haven't given myself a title. You were calling me Renaissance Man earlier. I kind of like this. I tell people I'm the president and the janitor.
You know,
but since it's an e-magazine, I don't make much of a mess.
It's a coincidence because I am the same thing at Indiana Talks. But you had an article. You had an article that came out on Sunday. President Mike Pence, that's right, I said it. And just to preface this from me, I have said all along that, A, if Pence is going to become president, it's not going to be liberals and Democrats that push him out. It will be Republicans. And I've also warned my Democrat friends to be careful for what you wish for, because while Donald Trump is a lot of things, he's an opportunist. And Mike Pence is a true believer. And, you know, you may want the opportunist a lot more than you end up wanting the true believer.
Absolutely. The options there are not good, in my opinion. I believe and have written about it many times and spoken publicly several times about it, that Mike Pence was not a good governor. And the reason, the fundamental reason, the biggest reason why I think he wasn't a good governor is because he doesn't know how to govern. He doesn't know how to manage government. The ideology I disagree with as well. But, you know, most of his really dangerous things were, in my opinion, based on his inability to do some very basic things. Recruit good people who are capable of managing government and couple that with a questionable ideology. And especially on a national perspective, when you start having to govern places like California and New York and states that don't lean right. That becomes a real difficult spot for a guy like Mike Pence to govern. But I do believe that I will be shocked if Donald Trump makes it to the end of his term, and not because he's going to be impeached. I don't believe that for one moment. It's that I think that he will become more and more frustrated with his inability to achieve the level of adoration that he always wanted, and that he will be very frustrated by the fact that people will slowly, and it's, we're already seeing it, are going to slowly stop taking orders from him, and it's going to be a tougher job than I think he planned on. So I've had this conversation with lots of people since the column came out. His inability, or he's incapable of doing the job, and that's leading to a frustration level that I think is unsustainable for him.
Do you think that he went into this thinking that he could run the United States of America like he has run his company?
Absolutely, I do. I think that he thought, and all evidence that he's given us in his operation in the West Wing and related areas, I think that he thought that people were going to do what he told them to do just because he was the one that told them to do it, and that came with being the president. And what sort of got lost is that he was running for president. He wasn't running for emperor or king or anything like that. And you have to continue to sell your story, you know, and you have to continue to build trust. And it's hard to do that without all of the goods. And I think the healthcare debate is a classic example, and we're seeing it also in foreign affairs. But people aren't watching it in detail as much as they have been the healthcare debate these past several weeks. He doesn't understand how it works, and he doesn't understand what the replacement plan is going to be. He sold his voters, we're going to have better health care, it's going to be cheaper, and it's just going to be a happier place. And he had no plan on how he was going to get there. In fact, he had no idea of how we got where we are. And so it makes it very hard to govern under those conditions. And I think that the frustration level is going to drive him to not stick this out, because that approval rating is going to continue to drop. And he's going to have fewer and fewer people falling in line, and that will be a snowball effect that will make it very difficult for him to get up every morning and face the music. So I just would be shocked if he lasts for another year or two, certainly not until the end of the term. And so when that happens, Mike Pence is the guy. And that's what the column's about. It's not about whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. There are pros and cons of both. I agree with you. But I don't see a scenario where Donald Trump gets it together and serves this country for another 3.5 years in that office. I just don't see that happen.
You know, you hear a lot of times, and it's almost inbred into conservative ideology, that you need to run government like you run a business. Is this the poster child of why you cannot and should not run a government like a business?
Yeah, there. I've talked about that a lot with a lot of people in my universe down here in Indianapolis and in the SPIA world, and we actually ran a column on Heartland Now that Kip Too wrote this week about that very topic, and I agree with Kip's column, and I agree that you can't run government like a business on the one hand, in the purest sense of that sentence. But there are things in common. What are the things in a business that work? Well, everyone in that business needs to have a shared common goal. And so in a business, it's usually profit. In a capitalistic society, profit is what theoretically drives business decisions. And in a government and in administration, that shared common goal needs to be continually preached and educated to your team so that you know what your goal, where you're trying to go. And that's very hard for someone who doesn't have a clear direction or a clear singleness of purpose, I guess. An example, him wanting Obamacare to implode, the word he keeps using, implode, which I don't even think is the right word, but that's the word he uses. He wants to see it fail so that he can come back and win. He doesn't understand what he's saying. So you want American people to be harmed so that you can win a political argument. That's the kind of thing that differentiates business from politics. Politics is designed to serve the people who are supporting the political view of those in power. It's hard. It's hard for it to translate for someone who's as shallow as our president is, that's for sure.
Have we ever seen, and obviously we have limited number of experiences in presidents that we have seen, but I mean, reading back through history, looking at our past presidents, at least since I've been alive since 1968, it's hard to pinpoint someone that has been this much of a, I'm going to call him a disaster at the start of a presidency, unless you count, what was it, Benjamin Harrison dying in the first 6 months of his presidency. Other than that, it's complete and utter failure. No pressure here. You have about 60 seconds to wrap that up.
Yeah, well, I mean, his approval ratings matter. They're indicative of a country that's not supportive of his platform, and obviously there are people that argue that approval ratings don't matter, but they do matter when you're trying to pass laws, and Congress responds to those kinds of things. And no, we have not had in modern history, we've not had a president struggle this much with approval. Richard Nixon's numbers were higher than Donald Trump's numbers when the impeachment process started that led to his resignation. So he's failed miserably at the honeymoon period. When you screw up the honeymoon period, the rest of the marriage is usually pretty hard.
You know, if you have a honeymoon that starts like this, you should just end it. I mean, just right there. I mean, I'm not talking like take your spouse snorkeling and that type of ending it, but
The problem is I don't know how he recovers. That's the thing I'm scared of. How do you get out of it? So, yeah, thanks for having me, Gary. It's good to be on.
Well, here's the part of the show where you get to tell people where they can find you, stalk you, write you hate email, all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, you can go to Heartland Now, one word, H-E-A-R-T, heartlandnow.com. That's the website, Heartland Now One, at Heartland Now One is the Twitter feed. Heartland Now Facebook page is the same. And so go there, speak up, complain, create whatever it is you need to get off your chest. We'll respond. We'll share it. We'll get it around. And you can be part of the show if you'd like.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And by the way, you can hear this podcast on Heartland Now. That's how awesome it is.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Talk to you soon, Gary.
You've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show on Indiana Talk.